Hello and welcome to our program today as we're going to be studying about God's Word and about it being sufficient and it meets our every need. We don't need another Bible. We don't need another book. We have the Bible. It alone is sufficient to help us to accomplish everything that God wants us to accomplish. I'd like to begin reading with a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 15 through 17, which establishes the fact that the Bible is all we need. We don't need another revelation. We don't need another book. Let's read 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is complete. It is sufficient for all that we need. And the reason why we're studying this particular subject is because there are voices in our world that says you need another book besides what the Bible says. The Roman Catholic Church has their Pope who changes laws and practices and beliefs, altering what the Bible says. Altering what the Bible says on morals, on marriage, on diets, and on sin. And so they say you need a Bible, but you also need what the Pope says. And we do not need another revelation, which the Pope claims that he is giving. There are other voices out in our world today, such as the voice of Joseph Smith. Though he is dead, his writings still live on through the Mormon Church. And he was called, and he called himself, a Latter-day Prophet. And he wrote three books. He wrote the Covenant of Promises, he wrote the Book of Mormon, and he wrote the Pearl of Great Price. And the Mormon Church still claims that there are 12 apostles. And so they claim that you need their books as well as the Bible. And matter of fact, they put their books over the Bible. We're saying the Bible says that's not true. There have been other people, Mary Baker Eddy, who established the Christian Scientist Church. There was William T. Russell, who established the Jehovah's Witnesses and actually retranslated the Bible and called it the New World Translation, and they say you need to use their translation. And the Jehovah Witness religion refutes many things that the Bible teaches. Then there are others like Robert Tilton and Kenneth Copeland. They believe that the Holy Spirit still gives spiritual gifts and that they can still speak on behalf of God today. Then there's a whole host of books written in ancient times, and they're called the Pseudepigrapha and the Apocrypha books. There are many, many of them. There are Apocrypha of the Old Testament. There are Apocrypha of the New Testament. And they have books like the Book of Adam and Eve, 1st and 2nd Enoch, the Book of Abraham, the Book of Esdras, the Book of Jubilee, and then there's the books of the Maccabees, there's Tobit and Judith, and many, many more. They claim to be God's Word, many of them do, but they're not in the Bible. We have 66 books in the Bible, 39 of the Old Testament, 27 of the New Testament, and we've had them there for centuries upon centuries upon centuries. They're all we need. Going back to the verse that we read earlier, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Why do we need other books? Why do we need latter-day revelations when the inspired books of the Bible are capable of causing us to be saved? That's what verse 15 says. It's one book, and it can save you. It is one book, and it is inspired. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. One God, one inspired book. Not only that, but it is profitable. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. The inspired scriptures are profitable, not the ones that men claim to be saying on behalf of God. But what are they profitable for? What is the one source of information, the Holy Bible? What is it good for? Well, it's profitable for teaching, doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. And another word there would be conviction. It can convict you. We've got one book. It's inspired of God. It can save you. It can teach you. It can convict you. It can correct you. It is for correction. We're not here to correct the Bible. The Bible is here to correct us. Furthermore, verse 16 says, for instruction in righteousness. Now notice verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so it can complete us, it can perfect us, it can fully equip us. Now, if the Bible can do all of these things, why do we need something else? If it will save us, why do we need something beside the Bible, such as the Book of Mormon or the Covenants of Promise or the Pearl of Great Price? Why do we need that? If the Bible can save us, why do we need the revelations so-called from the Roman Catholic Pope? No other information is needed. The Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, the 39 of the Old Testament, and 27 of the New Testament, they are sufficient to get the job done. I'd like to turn to another passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want us to look at several verses here. Number 1 is verse 3. According as his divine power, that's God's divine and wonderful power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What has God given us? He's given us, he says, all things that pertain to life and godliness. How did he give it to us? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's Jesus Christ. The Bible, the 27 books of the New Testament, the 39 books of the Old Testament, teach us completely of the image of Christ. And from that great image of Christ and the teachings of Christ, we are given all things that pertain to life and to godliness. How wonderful that is. But notice now in 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now notice this. It makes it possible, this one book, the Bible, makes it possible for us to have the image of Christ, to live in the image of Christ, and to escape the corruption that is in the world. And furthermore, look at verse number 9 of this text. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This wonderful Bible that we have, if we obey it, can purge us from our sins, and nothing else in the world can do that. Before we read another passage, let's go to 1 Peter 1:22. This volume that we're studying right now will fully equip us. This volume will give us the complete characteristics of the divine nature of God. This book can save us. It can purge us from our sins. Notice 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now notice, it is through the Word of God that we have been purged, purified, as we obey the truth. We don't need another book. The book that they had back then is sufficient for us to purify ourselves. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's word, 2,000 years ago, could purify our soul. God's word, 2,000 years ago, could provide for us the information by which we could be partakers of the divine nature of God. And so each book of the Bible, all 66, they make up one volume, the Bible. And each one of those books adds something to the theme of the plan of salvation. And it contains the information which moves us into spiritual maturity. Romans 15:4 says, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. We've got 39 books of the Old Testament that was written for our learning, so that by the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And so that's what the Bible does for us. Now, in 2 Peter 1, it also says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Doing what the Bible says will make our calling and our election sure. These 66 books, we don't need more books. This book alone can cause us to have our calling and election sure. Notice verse number 10 now, or verse number 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It can make our calling and election sure. It can cause us an entrance into the heavenly realm. Only these books can do that. These books can provide the faith that gives us the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4. This is what existed in the first century. These are the inspired books of the Bible, and they can provide for us everlasting life. Now I want to read another passage from 1 John 2:15-17. Listen very carefully to verse 17. Let's read verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now listen to this. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Doeth the will of God. Those inspired scriptures that were inspired back then would save a person. Those inspired scriptures back then would cause you to be partaker of the divine nature of God. If you were obedient to the Word of God back then, you would have purified your souls. It is an incorruptible seed. It will not ever go away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, that was delivered 2,000 years ago, shall abide forever. And that's pretty plain. We do not need another book. We have a sufficient book in the Bible. It is a true masterpiece. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It alone has the power to save our souls from eternal death. 66 books. They have been in the Bible for 2,000 years. But people come along and claim that there are lost books. That doesn't make sense. Why are they lost? Hasn't God the power to keep his word together? Doesn't make sense. Why would God say these inspired scriptures can make you perfect, they can make you complete, when there's some lost books and they haven't been found for 2,000 years? It doesn't make sense that Joseph Smith claims, I've got some more scripture for you. Bible's not enough. And so he brought in many, many more books, so-called, in the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and the Covenants of Promise. But you know, people could go to heaven back then before those books were provided or written by Joseph Smith, which are false books. They're not true. People could go to heaven with just the Bible. Just the 66 books of the Bible, we can go to heaven. Long before those books were ever written. Now let's turn over to John 16 and 13 for just a moment. John 16 and verse 13. Now read very carefully with me this passage. Jesus is promising his disciples that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to them. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. The apostles, inspired men of the New Testament times, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And so he guided them into all truth. Now, either he did or he didn't. Now, let those people say that we've got Latter-day Revelations answer the question. Did he lead the apostles into all truth or did he not? The Holy Spirit received the word from God, and then the Holy Spirit revealed it to men who recorded God's word. It is not the words of men. It is, in fact, the words of God. When we read our Bibles, we are reading the word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, beginning with verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture of it is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved men to record the Word of God. If God gave them a dream, they recorded it. If God gave them a prophecy, they recorded it. That's why they're called the Holy Scripture. Scripture. That's from the Greek word graphe, which means writing. Inspired men wrote it down. Where are the inspired writings today? Well, Joseph Smith says here in the Book of Mormon, I've got some inspired writings. If you've ever tried to read that book, you'll find it very confusing and just a mishmash of information. It was written in the style of the King James Version, but you can tell somebody was making it up as they went along. And so God has given us His Word. It is not the Word of men, it is the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to read this verse with you. When you receive the Word of God, this is 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, where it says, "For this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And so men were faithful. They were guided by the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit told them to speak, they spoke. And whatever the Holy Spirit told them to write down, they wrote it down. And that's how we have the 66 books of the New Testament, which can save you, which can make you complete, which will never be destroyed. Paul told Timothy, "The things which thou hast heard of me, the same among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And so it's a teaching process. Someone taught me, I'm going to teach someone else. And so it's going to be the same thing, though. The same thing they were taught back then is the same thing we're going to teach today. There's nothing new. Nothing new is needed. They were Christians back then. Who's going to deny that? That Paul was a Christian. He was one of the greatest Christians to ever live. But what did he have? He had the New Testament of Christ. He was revealing it. So the Bible is all we need. We don't need to find the Ark of the Covenant to believe the Bible. We don't need to find Noah's Ark. It's not needed. All we need is the Bible. We do not need to find the cross that Jesus hung upon. We don't need that cross. We have the Bible. We do not need the burial shroud that covered the dead body of Jesus Christ. We don't need that to get to heaven. We need the Bible, that's all. We don't need the cup that Jesus used in the initiation of the Lord's Supper. Nothing is missing. We have the complete and inspired Word of God. And that's what we need, and that's what will get us to heaven. And so if you're waiting for a miracle for you to believe, you're not going to get one. The Bible says the miracles that are written in the Bible are sufficient for us to believe. John 20, 30 and 31, "Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written." The miracles are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and in believing you might have life through his name. You don't have to see a miracle to believe that Jesus performed miracles. You read the recorded miracles of Christ. Jesus performed many miracles, multitudes of them, that are not written in the Bible. But John says these are written that you might believe. You don't have to see a miracle. If you're waiting for a miracle to believe, you don't need that. We have the Word of God. John 1 and 12 says, "For as many believed on him, gave he the power to become sons of God." And so you have the power to become a son of God when you read the Bible and you believe what the Bible says. The Bible is all sufficient. We don't need another book. We don't need a man that claims to be a prophet today. We have the Bible, and that's all we need in order to be the person God wants us to be. Thank you for tuning in, dear friend, and I appreciate this time that we had to spend together in studying the Word of God, the wonderful and glorious Word of God. Thank you for tuning in. We hope to see you next time. May God bless you.